My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. And now we are done with the regular season for college football. Bowl season has started up now. We just saw some bowl games get played this past weekend. Who was it? Georgia Southern, and I cannot remember who
they were. There were seven bowl games.
It was the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
There were seven games New Mexico State played in the New Mexico Bowl, but they ended up being seven different bowl games. Period last weekend as they kind of got underway. The first weekend, the first full weekend. Actually, thought last weekend was a really nice weekend. Jacksonville State played Louisiana in the New Orleans Bowl. That Myrtle Beach Bowl you're talking about was Georgia Southern and Ohio.
Yeah.
First time ever they had 10 wins in back-to-back seasons, believe it or not. The Cure Bowl. There's a bunch of them. And there were some prospects. I was watching. The other good news was the Division II finals were for the Saturday as well. So you had the Division II finals, bowl games. You had the FCS semifinals with North Dakota State and Montana. And really, there's not heavy draft prospects in either one of them. Because sometimes you do have a few guys here and there, especially at schools like Montana or North Dakota State. But it wasn't really set to be for this weekend. But what a great football day. And then you had the NFL on, and so it was I think, one of the most underrated football days.
Yeah, Saturday was pretty strong as far as football levels. Content goes. There was a lot of games on. I know that the Vikings Bengals game came that went to overtime, and so yeah, absolutely, there was a ton going on there, and it was really interesting to watch. But where we're going to start is with the Kansas City Chiefs and with their current rookie class. We did this, I want to say it was a couple months ago. Where we kind of updated the progress of the 23 class for the draft class for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think it's a good time here. We're in mid-December now. Christmas is next week. It's a good time, I think, for us to update this rookie class and kind of give you a progress, show you where the progress is for that class that we talked about so much. Before and after the draft that happened here in Kansas City. And I want to start with the first round pick, a guy that I predicted would end up with the Chiefs, a guy that we kind of, toiled over who we think they're going to take. Felix Onyedike-Uzomah, edge rusher, Kansas State. A lot of pomp and circumstance with this draft. With his selection in the draft, he was at the draft earlier, then went home, had a draft party, was selected by the Chiefs there at 31st overall. And he's appeared in 14 games this year, has not gotten very many snaps, which I think both me and you and even Nick thought was not going to be something that was going to happen. We did not think he was going to play a ton this year because unless there was an injury that happened, this is a team that, frankly, didn't need Felix for 2023. This was a developmental pick for the future. And I think we've seen that. In 14 games this year, he's had 11 tackles, half a sack, 7 pressures. That's it. And I don't think that there's some Chiefs fans that are mad about that. I personally don't think that there's any reason for us to be mad about it because, frankly, it's kind of what I expected.
Wasn't expecting too much. And the one thing is, what was going to be the philosophy? Because the year before, and this year was kind of, Chris, I remember we were talking about draft night. We were kind of talking about house money.
Yeah.
There wasn't that one pressing need. You say, all right, this is what they need to draft, except for wide receiver. I think that we could agree that was probably more pressing for the Chiefs. But the previous year was, because they had to find a running back, as Brett Veach talked about, an undrafted running back or a seventh-round running back being good. And clearly Pacheco worked, led the team in rushing last year. He had five of his defensive backs playing the Super Bowl. That was crazy. They had 61 starts by rookies last year. The two teams that they actually had more starts than the Chiefs were picking one and two in the draft. That just shows you how much the rookies were a part of it. And that's what happens when you pay your quarterback more than any highest percentage of any Super Bowl winning quarterback was Patrick Mahomes as far as what he takes from the team. So they had the benefit from that. And Felix kind of got caught in that. I mean, you hear all the rumors the Chiefs are trying to trade down. They're getting so good, people are not taking their phone calls now. They don't want to make them better. And so this is one of the problems of Brett Veach, a good problem to have is when teams won't take your phone call anymore. But Felix, as Andy Reid's always said, you can't have enough pass rushers. But was it going to be a guy that could come in, be right away? Because I think he was just a little bit behind Karlaftis. Because Karlaftis was ready to go last year.
Yeah,
like he was ready to go as a rookie. Felix isn't quite ready in that situation. But there wasn't a bunch of options. If they weren't going to trade down, there was not a bunch of options where they were drafting.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I think they got best available at that time. I think they got a guy that works for the team. Again, because of the wide receiver situation, there's a lot of people out there that have been angry at the Chiefs for taking Felix. I'm not going to be mad at them for it because I like Felix. I think he fits in well with what they like to do. I just think that it was a move where it's like, hey, we can kind of afford to make a luxury pick, and this is where we go. We get a luxury guy. Certainly, maybe next year, if something does happen with Chris Jones, he does end up leaving, they can kind of slide Omenihu a little bit more to the inside. If they keep Dana, they can slide him in more inside, and Felix can play the edge opposite Karlaftis. And now it justifies the pick. So I think that was more so a contingency than anything. In the second round, Chiefs traded up, and they went and took Rashee Rice, wide receiver at SMU. And thus far during the season, he has 68 receptions, 754 yards, and 7 touchdowns. As a matter of fact, in yesterday's game against the Patriots, he set a franchise record for touchdown catches for a rookie wide receiver. I think we can very much say that this was a successful pick thus far. He could very well be in line to have a 1,000-yard season, which I don't think any of us thought would happen for him. Certainly, you could see the potential there if you watch his tape at SMU. But I think a lot of us thought, you know, hey, wide receiver, rookie wide receiver in Andy Reid's system, probably going to be a little bit there. Probably going to take a little bit of time.
Going to take a little bit of time. The other thing, too, is second in catches now, as far as all rookie receivers taken, not pass catchers, because Kincaid and Laporta just barely ahead of him, and number three in rookie wide receiver yards. That's pretty big. Like, when you think of the wide receivers last year, okay, they got the guy that's number two in catches this year. So we can say what we want about Rice, and people may be not happy with his development right away. And I will say it takes guys a little bit to get – rookie receivers don't usually benefit a lot from Andy Reid's system initially.
Right.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And then, of course, you got to deal with the rookie wall the guy's hit, but he keeps getting better. And we saw different guys like Karlaftis just got better.
Karlaftis was so good at the end of the
year. So you want to see who's getting better. Heck, Sky Moore actually got a little bit better, and then he kind of regressed this year. Not kind of, he did regress this year. But the one thing, too, is because this always comes up with Brett Veach and his draft flaws, always comes up. I get it on the post-game show and all this. I get, well, Brett Veach can't draft wide receivers just because he doesn't have a Justin Jefferson on the team. But here's the thing. He hasn't really had to try. I mean, he always had Tyreek Hill there, and then he makes a trade for Tyreek Hill and gets enough picks that he parlays that into a Super Bowl. But I'll say this. So he's had the last 2 years. Second-round receiver, Sky Moore. Sky Moore is not living up to expectations. I thought highly of Sky Moore coming out of the draft. Even mocked Sky Moore in one to the Chiefs because he caught everything. He was one of those guys He was a hard worker, and he caught everything. I thought he fit into the system. This year, the Chiefs were settled on Rashee Rice, a guy that had worked out with Mahomes down in Texas. But here's the thing. Doesn't Rashee Rice count for Brett Veach? How did he get here? He got here because of the draft. You know, as I always say, the magic fairy didn't sprinkle down and say, oh, here's Rashee Rice. No, Brett Veach went out and grabbed him. In a year where he wasn't going to get many wide receivers, he's going to get one. He was going to get one because he only got two offensive skill positions, or not just two offensive positions, not skill positions, but Rice and Wanye Morris that Friday night of the draft. We were at center block. It's the only two he got. But I think that Rice shows a little bit that he's good at receivers because he panned out and he's worked out. Now, I do think if Brett Veach was tasked with, okay, get three receivers in the draft, I would venture to say that two of three of those are probably going to work out. It's going to be a more concentrated draft. He's been concentrating on defensive backs and edge rushers and things like that. Let him concentrate on receivers, which I do think this year will be, and see what happens. But so far, the returns of investment of Rashee Rice are paying off for the Chiefs. Already a rookie touchdown record for Kansas City.
Before the 22 draft, the narrative was that he couldn't draft edge rushers because of Breland Speaks. And that's what this all comes down to. It's he makes one mistake, picks one guy wrong, in this case, Sky Moore, and then he also did trade for Kadarius Toney, which some people are attributing to the draft, which was just a trade. Those two didn't work out. But if you're going to criticize him for those two moves, you got to give him credit for Rashee Rice. And so this idea that he can't draft wide receivers is just false, because Rashee Rice right now is setting rookie franchise records for receivers. You know, receiving touchdowns could very well set a record for receiving yards. He's in great position to, I think, shatter the expectations that a lot of people had for him in his rookie season. So, yeah, I think you got to give him credit. If you're going to criticize Brett Veach for those moves, you got to give him credit for the Rashee Rice pick. So, yeah, that the whole narrative of he can't draft wide receivers, it is an emotional argument. Yeah. It is not a logical one.
Yeah, well, last year's draft class in wide receivers wasn't a great one. You know, I mean, Puka Nacua surprised everybody, ended up being the best
fifth-round pick, and he was the best receiver in the draft.
Every team passed on him four times before he got there. So, you know, yeah, so everybody missed on that one. It wasn't just Brett Veach, but that's the best wide receiver in last year's draft class. Jordan Addison, guys like that are right there, too. It's guys that I like, Zay Flowers.
Yeah, but Rashee's been better than them. So moving on to the third round, you've got right tackle Wanye Morris, and he got moved over to left tackle very early in training camp with the second team, which was interesting to us, and he was inactive in the early part of the season. Then he started dressing in late October. And then by November, he was starting to see some playing time at left tackle, which me and you have both talked about. Andy's very cautious with left tackles. He does not. Eric Fisher did not start his career at left tackle. He was a right tackle. They had Brandon Albert there. He was there for a year. They let him go. He went to Miami, and then they moved Eric over to the left side. If you look at Wanye's progress, he started the last two games. Is he great? No. But you see some promise. I actually think he's an excellent run blocker. Like, you watch him, go just watch him maul the defensive ends in the run game. Like, there was one play, and I tweeted out, it's like he mauled the edge rusher there on a run play that kind of helped spring Clyde a little bit for a nice little, I think it was like 5 or 6 yard gain. I mean, he literally pushed the dude back like 6-7 yards, almost put him on his ass. It was a very great run block by Wanye. But then the very next play, he gave up a sack, I believe. As a pass protector, he needs work, especially for speed.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speed Rush guys definitely are causing him a little issue, but I believe that he has a lot of talent, and I think that with Andy Heck, their offensive line coach there, I think they're going to be able to kind of put that together, and I really like the progress that we've seen from Wanye thus far, even though, again, he was a right tackle at Oklahoma, and I think we both thought that he was probably going to be a right tackle prospect and Juwan was going to play the left. And now you look at him, and you're like, Juwan's the starting right, and he's now getting the left side. And to be honest, I kind of feel like even when Donovan Smith is healthy, that Wanye should remain the starter at left tackle.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that really when you look at this rookie class, he's the most important one of the bunch. Even over Rasheed
from a,
Rice.
From a value standpoint, a roster construction standpoint, I agree with you.
Because I've always felt like, as you said, you know, Reed, we talked about last year, you know, around the draft and how important was quarterback. We deep down all thought that he was going to go out and get a veteran quarterback. It's just what he likes. Not a great one, but you need someone that can facilitate a 98-yard drive like Chad Henne did. Not going to pee down your leg in
right.
You know, in
someone
the
who can come in and spell Mahomes.
Nick Foles and these guys that they go out and grab. Chase Daniel, those type of guys. Chad Henne's of the world. Matt Moore. Those are what he wants. Not the start, not the develop. That's why Shane Buechele, when people were thinking, oh, this guy's got something. Well, who cares? He's never going to start in Kansas City. Their job is not to develop Shane Buechele. They want a guy, and they're going to bring in and sign a guy like Blaine Gabbert that's been there. And been, whether you've been good or not, it doesn't matter. Can you run the offense? There, quarterback and left tackle. You've got to have someone you trust to protect the blind side of a half-billion-dollar quarterback. And it is Wanye. And Wanye actually started – more games at left tackle than at right tackle. 17 games at left tackle, 12 at right tackle, only because when he was at Tennessee, where he played next to Trey Smith, he was a left tackle. Then he got moved to Oklahoma, and he was a backup left tackle. Then he was the left. Then he was a left tackle. But he spent time at right tackle at Oklahoma, at Tennessee. So he spent time at both at Oklahoma, and more had him at the right tackle.
Yeah, that's where he was when he got drafted.
Yeah, he was drafted right at right tackle, but he came as a left tackle. From Tennessee, but his development was going to, you know, he's given up sacks the last 2 weeks, though. I mean, it's been one is hard to, even when you go back to the Green Bay game, he gave one, but I can't put a lot on him because he came in cold. He came in like right there, boom, they took advantage of it, did what teams do when a new tackle comes in the game. But the run blocking has been good, and I think the Chiefs trust him to this point, and it's going to keep probably Juwan Taylor over on the right side. I don't think you can trust Juwan Taylor to move over to the left side and step off another foot.
Hell, you can't even trust him to play the right tackle a whole hell of a lot. So, yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Then we go to the fourth round. Your favorite guy in this draft class, Chamari Connor, who is a safety slash corner out of Virginia Tech. Not played a ton, but as the season's come along, he's getting a little bit more playing time now. He's got 22 tackles for the season. He's got one tackle for loss. He had a pick in last week's game against the Buffalo Bills, and he also has a pass deflection as well. I think this has been a developmental-type move, kind of like what they did with Brian Cook, where early in the season, Cook wasn't getting a ton of run. He was really kind of the third safety. Right now, Connor is... you know, getting a little bit more playing time out of necessity because of the injury to Cook, who's now your starting free safety. But I think overall, I would say that you like what you see from Connor. The pick last week was really good, and that certainly was very promising.
He gets raves around, and we're talking about a guy that was getting some snaps with the ones early on in the season because he played everything. He is – maybe I think they drafted him for LeJarius Sneed. Like, if they're not going to have the money to bring in Sneed, now I think clearly Sneed has maybe earned that extra contract from the Chiefs, but cut from the same mold. Guy that led Virginia Tech in sacks back in 2019 as a defensive back, because no defensive backs blitz better than the Chiefs in the NFL. Spagnuolo is just the best at blitzing and using defensive backs and disguising blitzes. Belichick used to be great at this too. Like, that was a kind of a watermark, high watermark for the Patriots in their run, was blitzing. But Connor can do it, man. He can play safety. This guy you trust at nickel corner. He's a jack of all trades. And this is a guy they like. It's why it was my favorite draft pick when they made it on draft. I was like, this is my dude. You know that, because everybody kind of got their players. Said,
yeah,
I'm going to like the Shamari Connor. Shamari Connor, man, keep an eye on this guy. Keep an eye on this guy, because I think when you think of this young secondary in the direction they're going, he fits right in there. And I think a guy like Justin Reed helps him out a lot. I think just having that, you know, because I think Justin Reed's having his best year as a pro, but just having someone like that in that deep, deep, it's a young defensive back room, except for Justin Reed, who brings that veteran presence. But nobody blitzes better than Spags as far as the secondary is concerned, and teams are starting to take notice of it. Media is starting to take notice of it, the Chiefs, and how well they blitz from the secondary.
Oh, yeah, like that's kind of been the story of the team really since Sneed took off a few years ago. It's been that they are so good at those slot blitzes, and I think Tremari could very well be the next coming of that great blitzer from the slot. Because, you know, we know the Chiefs like to kind of move their safeties around, play them in different spots. And, yeah, I think Tremari is probably going to go along the lines of what Justin Reed is doing. And, you know, if that's the case, then his ability to blitz, his ability to come up and play that short, like, mid-range zone over the middle, going to be really important. I think he's kind of shown you a little bit of promise there.
She's now third in sacks in the NFL. A lot of it comes from the secondary.
Yeah, a lot of it comes from the extra blitzers that they send from the linebacking core and from the secondary. B.J. Thompson was their next pick. He's not played this year. He's been inactive all year long. I think we both agree that this was a redshirt pick by the team. This was a move that was very much about them trying to draft, and we talked about this a lot before the draft. Draft a guy who was a freak athlete that plays an important position, and if he develops into a starting caliber player, they found a gem. And I think that's kind of where they are with B.J. Thompson. He was undersized when they drafted him out of Stephen F. Austin. Had to put on about 20 more pounds for them to be a little bit more comfortable. Hell, he put on 20 pounds from his playing days to the draft day. He had to put on 20 pounds. So
I like his potential. Again, it's going to be a wait and see. It's like, reminds me of Tino Passanio, who came to the Chiefs as a 1AA player.
Yeah, except in the case of Passanio, who was a second round pick opposed to being a third day pick.
Big difference there. I get you that. But as far as your experience and a lot of the that we talked about last week, you know, now you can, with guys hopping in the transfer portal, getting that extra bonus year from a COVID and using it so teams don't have to exactly, but they had no eligibility left. I mean, he had to go, but I'm saying this is helping NFL teams. B.J. Thompson, incredibly athletic and really shined in the postseason all-star games. I can see why they got him.
Yeah, he's a former Baylor player, and then he left and went to Stephen F. Austin. So really talented kid, and I certainly think that there could be more to come from him. But, yeah, this was not a 2023 pick, and I think we both saw that when they took him in the first place. Next pick, Keandre Coburn, defensive tackle out of Texas.
Snacks.
Has not played. I mean, he played week one. After that, he was, kind of sitting on the bench. Then he was released, put on the practice squad. He was signed by Denver from the practice squad. Then very quickly was let go. Chiefs signed him back to the practice squad, and I believe now he's in Tennessee, where he's on, I believe, is he on their practice squad or is he actually on their roster?
No, you got to take him. He came back to our practice squad after Denver, so he had to go active roster.
Yeah.
he had to go active roster if you're going to poach him from the practice squad. So Tennessee had to throw him on there.
Yeah, so
he's got one tackle. He's got one career tackle now.
Yeah, yeah. So he's not played very much this year. I did not think. I mean, I think we both thought he would actually get more playing time this year.
I thought he might. There was a chance he could lead the team in snaps. I was way wrong on that one.
Yeah. So you know, hope it'd be nice if they could get him back at some point. I certainly still really like the
because of the experience yeah. in Texas. I mean, the guy was always on the field, and you know, I just figured he'd be in the rotation, to be honest with you. But something. I mean, I know that Spags liked him.
He did.
I know that he likes his potential, and he just wasn't ready to be. And again, I don't think the Chiefs, you know, have that extra red shirt to throw at guys.
Right. They were kind of crunched on their roster anyways, with wide receiving core situation being what it was, where they had to find some room for Justin Ross, and running back situation what it was, tight end situation what it was. So, yeah, I mean, they were kind of crunched, and he kind of became a casualty.
He played in the first game for the Chiefs because Merck Jones wasn't here. Yeah. He played in that game and had a tackle for a loss.
Yeah, he did.
He hadn't played except for he played it on 12-17, the Tennessee-Houston game, and he had one tackle. He got one tackle, and he was an assist that he got playing for Tennessee this past weekend.
Right, so like I said, I all the best to him. I'd love it if he were able to come back, KC. But you know, I think the Chiefs, they're pretty deep on their defensive line, and so that was kind of a position where there was going to be a little attrition if you needed to make room for another player at a position group that had more needs at it. And then finally, you had Nick Jones, cornerback. He's only appeared in 7 games, no stats.
He had that tackle. He had one tackle. He was against the Patriots.
Yeah, one tackle against the Patriots.
Everybody was like, oh, there's Nick Jones.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, though. Like, Nick Jones has not played a ton. I'm not sure he's going to be on the team next year, because who was it? Was it Nazi Johnson, who had a really good camp?
If Nazi Johnson
did not tear his ACL, I don't think Nick Jones would have made the roster.
No, but then also Boye Doe. Echo Boye Doe.
Yeah, Echo Boye Doe has actually been really good on special teams.
Stopped the ball at the 1-inch line.
It was great. It was really nice.
I've seen in the NFL.
Yeah, and Echo Boye Doe was another guy in training camp that, you know, you were hearing some stuff about, especially as a special teamer. So, yeah, kind of a tough situation there for Nick. Yeah, I'm not sure if he's going to be on the team for very long just because when Nazi comes back, that's going to be really interesting to see what happens there, because he was getting a lot of hype before he got hurt. So,
yeah.
So moving on, me and Bink had this debate this weekend. Last Thursday, the Los Angeles Chargers got clapped by the Las Vegas Raiders 63-21 on Thursday Night Football. And it was very apparent after the game, like, oh, yeah, we've been talking about Brandon Staley's job for a long time. And it very much seemed like this is the time. You lose by 42 points on national TV. You know, this is the time
where
you gotta get him out of there. And the next day, they fired him, that Friday. And you had a pretty interesting take on teams firing their head coach in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like when teams do this, especially with the finish line right there in front of us. Because here's the problem, and who knows what's going to happen here. They have a tough schedule, but it's the NFL, and teams do stand up and beat teams that aren't supposed to beat teams. We saw that with Tennessee and Miami just recently here. But you never know what's going to happen. And the 49ers dropping 3 in a row, losing in dramatic fashion, especially in that Vikings game, throwing a pick to the same guy, and they lose 3 in a row. And it's crazy. The NFL's got some weird things. But my thing is this. The Chargers, which I do have them taking Brock Bowers. I think that's a good fit for what the Chargers have. They were picking 10th. They lose that game to the Raiders. They bump up to 5th. Now, they're 7th right now. They settled 7th. But there is a log jam of teams, basically, between really 4, you know, and 13, 14, a log jam of teams. My philosophy is, if you have a coach that sucks and a coach where the team has quit on them and you just have a couple games left, I don't want an Antonio Pierce situation where all of a sudden the players want to play for that coach. Like, it's the worst thing for an interim coach to come in and all of a sudden the guys get a little bit inspired for it. Because you don't – if I'm owning a team, and again, it's Kansas City Chiefs fans, you don't give a rat's ass about the Chargers draft. But I will say this. I think this year is so important with this draft. Because they were sitting literally two spaces away from Marvin Harrison Jr., where I think he's going to go third, when they went to fifth. Now, they're not going to get him because the Cardinals are going to get him. But they almost blew it by having a good first half against the Niners. But I want the team to play as bad as they can and finish out the season, fire Brandon Staley as soon as the season's done, boom, fire him and move on from him and get a different coach. But I don't want any hope for this team. I don't want any promise. If I'm an owner of an NFL team, I want the highest draft pick I get. That's my only concern, is sometimes players can get inspired by an interim coach. That's my only fear. Brandon Staley is doing a great job of being a bad coach.
First off, he's not a bad coach. He has a 500 record as a head coach at for the Chargers. That's not a bad coach. We've seen bad coaches. We've seen Art Shell. We've seen Romeo Crennel. We've seen a lot of really bad coaches.
He's not a bad coach. Anything without Justin Herbert.
But a lot of coaches can't do anything without their starting quarterback. Look at Tom Brady. Look at the Patriots this year.
What the Raiders did to him is not a good coach.
But here's my, he's a good coach. He's just not someone that you are, if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you want on your team.
Well, analytically, he didn't know what the hell he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. Like I said, he has a 500 record. That's not a bad coach.
He kept his team out of the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah, but that's not a bad coach. Okay. That's just a coach that you're not going to win a championship.
I think he single-handedly cost
his team. They went to the playoffs last year. I mean, it's not a bad coach.
They blew a 27-0 lead.
100% they blew that lead. But that's not a bad coach. Okay. There's not a bad coach who has a 500 record in 3 years. That's not a bad coach.
They've quit on him.
Here's my thing about it. How many times do we see... First off, do you know what Antonio Pierce's record is with the Raiders right now?
Was it 2-2?
3-3.
Oh, 3-3.
So yeah, he's 500. Yeah. Like, they're not a good team. He has helped them basically be a 500 team, which the Raiders right now still are right around that mix to be a top 10 picking
still
team.
Still, they went out in the history of that team and scored more points than they've ever scored.
Oh, 100%. 100%, yeah.
And the Chargers are supposed to be good on defense because Brandon Staley's about defense and they can play defense.
Yeah, no, we knew they weren't good on defense early in the season. I mean, they traded J.C. Jackson back to the Patriots.
That's just where I stand. That's just my opinion.
But my thing is this. First off, there's not that many cases where interim coaches rally the team and they start winning a bunch of games. As a matter of fact, in the last 5 years, can you guess how many coaches who have been interim head coaches have a 500 or better record in the last five years?
Well, I think Rich Bisaccia did a great job at Oakland or with the Vegas and got him in the playoffs.
Yeah, he went 7-5.
Chuck Pagano was a great one back in the day for the Colts.
I'm talking about the last five. Just the last five years.
I had to think about it.
Three. That's it. Three. There's been 10 interim head coaches the last 5 years. Three of them have had a 500 or better record.
I just don't want to take the chance.
One of them was Rich Bisaccia, but the Raiders did not fire him because of Gruden being a terrible coach. The Raiders were 3-2 when they fired Gruden. He got fired because the racist, sexist, homophobic things that came out in that email and those emails with Bruce Allen when he was working for ESPN as their color commentator on Monday Night Football. That's why he got fired. So Bisaccia took a team that was above 500 already, and they went 7-5, and they made the playoffs. So, again, it's like he took a team that was already, like, trying to win anyways. They weren't a bad
football team. I just look at it. It's too far in the tenure, Chris. But they're 29th in the NFL in defense. He's the defensive mastermind, supposedly, when he gets a defensive coordinator.
If you don't have the personnel, it doesn't matter.
They do not. They bring in J.C. Jackson. They brought in Khalil Mack.
J.C. Jackson was not good for them.
They Khalil Mack on the opposite side of Bosa. They let Drew Tranquil walk on a one-year contract.
Khalil Mack has had injury problems. Joey Bosa's had injury problems.
The problem is they're not doing what he's supposed to be good at, which is defense.
Yeah, and here's my thing. We rarely see interim head coaches rally the team. Rarely. Do you know what the record is for interim coaches the last 5 years combined?
It's probably not great.
31-58.
It's probably not great.
It's a 35% win percentage.
But one win can screw you up about six spots in the draft. One damn win.
Yeah, but they're a terrible team already.
They can go 1-2.
They're a terrible team right now.
Can they get that one
win? And here's the thing. Here's another thing about it.
I hope they go out and win a game.
Who's their head coach?
Except for the Chiefs.
Who's their head coach? Who's their interim head coach?
It's their linebacker coach.
Their outside linebacker coach, Jiff Smith, is his name. How many years has he been a head coach in his coaching career?
He hasn't.
He's never been a head coach in his career.
He keeps rising the different levels.
Keeps rising where? Has he ever been a coordinator at any level in his career?
No, he's been.
Never. He's never been. The highest he's ever reached is the position that he's at right now as an interim head coach.
Well, here's 50, the thing. Here's,
he's 55 years old.
The bottom line is, you're not going to change my mind. My mind is made up that you don't hire an interim coach. But that's what we agree to disagree.
He's been coaching.
You're not going to convince me otherwise.
He's been coaching for 32 years, and he's never been a coordinator. He's never been a head coach. It's very apparent.
Well, because Kellen Moore turned it down.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to take that job either. No, I 100% agree with that. It's a terrible job right now.
He's been a coach at the Chargers since 2016.
Yeah, since 2016, and he's been coaching linebackers. Like, all he's done, he had 1 year as a receivers. Actually, no, he had one stint as a receivers coach in college, which was his first positional coaching position. After that, all he's done is coach positions. How are you 55? Like, remember Vic Fangio, who got his first coaching job as a head coach in, like, his early 60s? He had been a coordinator for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Jiff Smith's never been a coordinator. This isn't a good head coaching hire.
Is he's it like Jeff or Jeff?
I don't know. Like I'm saying GIF. I'm going to assume GIF because GIF is a stupid. It might be GIF, but it's a stupid nickname. Yeah. But like, this is a positional coach. They didn't hire Kellen Moore. They didn't hire the DC. They hired the outside linebacker head coach as the interim coach. They're not trying to win games. They're clearly trying to lose games. So I think, like, I would understand if this was a team that absolutely needed a quarterback. But they don't need a quarterback. They're good on quarterback. They just paid their quarterback his second contract extent. He got his second contract already.
I wonder why Kellen Moore turned it down.
Kellen Moore turned it down because it's not a good job. Yeah. They're not a
good
team.
Without Justin Herbert,
they're not a good team. He's got Easton Stick as his starting quarterback now. Come on. You think they're gonna be the Bills, the Broncos, or the Chiefs with Easton Stick?
North Dakota State quarterbacks aren't working out.
Easton Stick has been playing in the NFL longer than Justin Herbert has. He's been on that Chargers team since 2019, and they drafted Justin Herbert the next year. They don't think that Easton Stick is good. They're clearly trying to lose as many games as possible. They fired Brandon Staley because they promoted Jiff Smith. Because Brandon Staley is a better coach than Jiff Smith. That's why. They're clearly trying to tank. And it's very obvious that everything's falling apart. Like, if you want to talk about this for, like, the Bears, 100% agree with you on the Bears. For the Chargers, I don't think it matters.
I hope the Chargers actually were thinking outside the box and named Jiff Smith because they want to lose. I hope they literally looked at their coaching staff and said, let me get somebody that sucks. To be the head coach.
Oh, yeah. Who's the worst get the guy who's never been a coordinator. That's a good idea.
Let's get somebody in here to lose every damn game. And keep in mind, their schedule's ridiculous to finish the year.
Yeah. It's, you know, you're probably facing off against two, maybe three playoff teams. It's very difficult. It is not going to be an easy schedule, and they just lost by 42 points to a team that's not going to make the playoffs in the Raiders. I think we're good.
I just don't want them to have any hope.
I think
Chris.
We're good. They're not gonna. Oh, there's no hope right now.
I think Spanos should coach him.
There's no hope. I mean, Spanos would probably.
I think Justin Herbert should injured at all. Just sit there and the coaches.
They might be
polo.
Better. They might be better with Justin Herbert because whoever this is, Jiff Smith.
They might actually. If they play for Herbert.
They have an outside linebacker coach who's never been a coordinator.
They probably play for
55 years old. They probably play for Herbert. But again, you have Easton Stick as your quarterback. You're not going to win any. You're not going to win any games there. So moving on to our mock draft roundup, we have rounded up all of the various prognostications from around the NFL draft world and brought to you the names of the people that have been mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, if the season ended, the Chiefs would be picking 27th in the NFL draft. So, starting out here from draft countdown, they've got the Chiefs taking wide receiver Xavier Worthy out of Texas, which, I mean, if A.D. Mitchell's on the board, I want him over Worthy.
It started off being Xavier Worthy for me, and it kind of transitioned to A.D. Mitchell.
A.D.'s been better the last half of the season.
One thing about Xavier Worthy, he got banged up, too. Or still
he did.
Kind of, you're not getting much information out of Texas, but he's a returner as well. That's one thing that really helps.
Yeah, but I think they're fine on return, man.
But A.D. Mitchell's one of these guys that had to transfer. He transferred from Georgia.
Georgia. He was very good at Georgia.
He was good. And the fact is, he transferred down there and it'd be closer to his family and stuff like that. Were the kind of the reasons, not just but he's 6'4". He's about 6'4", 200 pounds. A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell is, yeah. Xavier Worthy's a little bit smaller.
He's about 6'1", maybe 200 pounds.
But I like them both. And Xavier Worthy has been a hot. Both those Texas receivers have been hot names for the Kansas City Chiefs. And you get to watch them in the college football playoffs here coming up.
Yeah. Walter
against
football.
Gets good defensive backs.
Gets good defensive backs. Kool-Aid. Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting matchup.
Or not Kool-Aid.
Not Kool-Aid. They're going
to
be playing Washington.
They have to get Alabama in
the finals. Yeah, they're going to play Washington.
Yeah, they have to get in the finals.
In the semis. Walter football has the Chiefs taking wide receiver out of Washington, Romo Odunze. I do not think this will happen because I think Romo Odunze will be off the board by this point. Yard Barker, which this is laughable, has the Chiefs taking Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa. I like DeJean a lot. I see no reason why the Chiefs would take a corner. I think it's a terrible pick there.
It made me laugh. That's why I say I had to find one, and this is my favorite one. Cooper DeJean, listen, I'm with you. He's also a returner as well, Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, he's very athletic.
And you
very
can make an argument one of the better corners in this draft.
He might be the most athletic one
except
in
he
the
got
draft.
Hurt. He got hurt right at the end of the year for Iowa.
They tore his ACL, right?
Didn't play in the Big Ten title game, yeah. But I thought it was funny. That's just not putting a lot of thought into it. Because the Chiefs, if they go corner in the first round, there will be a riot.
If they go corner in the first, like that's like the ultimate, like that would be like when the Chiefs took Clyde back in 2020. It's like them making a complete luxury pick, being like, oh, we're good. We don't like that would be like if they really seriously address the wide receiver position and defensive tackle position in free agency to a point where like. People would be like, okay, they don't need to take a receiver. But even if they do that, they should probably still take a wide receiver in the first round.
It's a lower leg injury for him, so not exactly sure. And again, you don't get a lot of information from schools when things like this come out.
Pro Football Network has the Chiefs taking A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas, which in that position, you know, late in the first round, somewhere in the mid to late 20s, if not early 30s, that's who I would want the Chiefs to take there. Ryan Wilson from CBS has the Chiefs taking Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston, who's been a very popular option for the for mock drafts here lately.
No, it has, and this way it goes back to our Wanye Morris discussion, like how important he is so that you're not sitting here talking about a Patrick Paul in the first round, how you're looking at wide receivers.
I mean, I still think – Wanye would have to have – a disastrous final three games.
Yeah, I mean,
a disastrous final three games
so
for them
key,
to make
man.
That
He's
move.
So instrumental. Yeah. The Chiefs don't have to use this first round pick, and we can start zeroing in on wide receivers.
Right. I don't really see that happening. Josh Edwards from CBS had them taking Keon Coleman.
But that would be great. If
another pick, I do not see them making.
But he's been sliding down a little bit. A lot of the mocks have him like because I keep looking. Where does all these mocks have Keon Coleman? Right. Some at 9. Some of them have in the top 10. Some of them about 16, 17 is a real popular thing for Keon.
Yeah,
Coleman.
That's where I've seen him.
I have seen him in the 20s, in the 23rd, for some big ones like CBS, stuff like that. I don't remember whose it was, but it was a good, it was a well-known publication. Maybe. That would put, the Chiefs would be in striking distance to trade if that were the case.
Yeah, and like I said, I do not believe he's going to be there. I think there's a very good chance he's going 2 or 3 as far as receivers go. The 40 time's going to matter a lot, but I think a lot of people underestimate the kind of athlete he is. And I think once we get to see that on display at the combine, I think that's going to really, he's going to shoot up boards. I don't think he's going to be in range for the Chiefs to take him. Draft Nation has the Chiefs taking Troy Faoutanu, tackle out of Washington. Again, I'm not buying the tackle thing right now because I think Wanye's looked very good thus far. And I think the Chiefs are the kind of team that if they don't have to spend that pick on that kind of player, they won't.
And I wonder what part of these mock drafters get to a point where the Chiefs, this year, right now they've moved to second, they're 31st in the NFL as far as giving up the fewest sacks. Only Buffalo has given up fewer sacks than the Chiefs. That just changed this weekend.
Yeah.
They've got almost the whole season giving up the fewest sacks. What stands out to you more, that or the fact the Chiefs can't catch a cold? Like you would think that, okay, we're going wide receiver with the Chiefs in the first round.
I think if the offense were better, I think people would give the offensive line a little bit more credit than they are.
No, they are, but I mean, they have given up the fewest sacks going into this weekend.
Roto Baller has the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas. Draft Wire has the Chiefs taking A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. USA Today has the Chiefs taking Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver out of Ohio State. Same with SB Nation as well. I do not see that happening. I think Emeka's basically be a 500 team which the Raiders right now still are right around that mix to be a top 10 picking
still
team.
Still, they went out in the history of that team and scored more points than they've ever scored.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And the Chargers must be good on defense because Brandon Staley's about defense and they can't play defense.
Yo, no, I mean, we knew they weren't good on defense early in the season. I mean, they traded J.C. Jackson back to the Patriots.
That's just where I stand. That's just my opinion.
But my thing is this. First off, there's not that many cases where interim coaches rally the team and they start winning a bunch of games. As a matter of fact, in the last 5 years, can you guess how many coaches who have been interim head coaches have a 500 or better record in the last five years?
Well, I think Rich Bisaccia did a great job at Oakland or with the Vegas and got him in the playoffs.
Yeah, he went 7-5.
Chuck Pagano was a great one back in the day for the Colts.
I'm talking about the last five. Just last five years.
I had to think about it.
Three. That's it. Three. There's been 10 interim head coaches the last 5 years. Three of them have had a 500 or better record.
I just don't want to take the chance.
One of them was Rich Bisaccia, but the Raiders did not fire him because of Gruden being a terrible coach. The Raiders were 3-2 when they fired Gruden. He got fired because the racist, sexist, homophobic things that came out in that email and those emails with Bruce Allen when he was working for ESPN as their color commentator on Monday Night Football. That's why he got fired. So Bisaccia took a team that was above 500 already, and they went 7-5, and they made the playoffs. So, again, it's like he took a team that was already, like, trying to win anyways. They weren't a bad
team. I just look at it. It's too far in the tenure, Chris. But they're 29th in the NFL in defense. He's the defensive mastermind, supposedly, when he gets a defensive coordinator.
If you don't have the personnel, it doesn't matter.
They bring in J.C. Jackson. They brought in Khalil Mack.
J.C. Jackson was not good for them.
They Khalil Mack on the opposite side of Bosa.
Khalil Mack has had injury problems. Joey Bosa's had injury problems.
The problem is they're not doing what he's supposed to be good at, which is defense.
Yeah, and here's my thing. We rarely see interim head coaches rally the team. Rarely. Do you know what the record is for interim coaches the last 5 years combined?
It's probably not great.
31-58.
It's probably not great.
It's a 35% win percentage.
But one win can screw you up about six spots in the draft. One damn win.
Yeah, but they're a terrible team already.
They can go 1-2.
They're a terrible team right now.
Can they get that one win?
And here's the thing. And here's another thing about it. Like,
I hope they go out and win a game.
Who's their head coach?
Except for the Chiefs.
Who's their head coach? Who's their interim head coach?
Their linebacker coach.
Their outside linebacker coach, Jiff Smith, is his name. How many years has he been a head coach in his coaching career?
He hasn't.
He's never been a head coach in his
rising.
Career.
He keeps rising the different levels.
Keeps rising where? Has he ever been a coordinator at any level in his career?
No, he's been.
Never. The highest he's ever reached is the position that he's at right now as an interim head coach.
Well, the bottom line is, you're not going to change my mind.
He's
my mind is made up that you don't hire an interim coach. But agree to disagree.
He's been coaching for 32 years. And he's never been a coordinator. He's never been a head coach. It's very apparent
to me. Well, Kellen Moore turned it down.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to take that job either. No, I 100% agree with that. It's a terrible job right now.
He's been a coach at the Chargers since 2016.
Yeah, since 2016, and he's been coaching linebackers. Like, all he's done, he had 1 year as a receivers. Actually, no, he had one stint as a receivers coach in college. Which was his first positional coaching position. After that, all he's done is coach positions. How are you 55? Like, remember Vic Fangio, who got his first coaching job as a head coach in like his early 60s? He had been a coordinator for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Jiff Smith's never been a coordinator. This isn't a good head coaching hire.
Is he Jeff or Jiff?
I don't know. I'm saying Jiff. I'm going to assume Jiff because Giff is a stupid. It might be Giff, but it's a stupid nickname. Yeah. But like, this is a positional coach. They didn't hire Kellen Moore. They didn't hire the DC. They hired the outside linebacker head coach as the interim coach. They're not trying to win games. They're clearly trying to lose games. So I think I would understand if this was a team that absolutely needed a quarterback, but they don't need a quarterback. They're good on quarterback. They just paid their quarterback his second contract extent. He got his second contract already.
I wonder why Kellen Moore turned it down.
Because it's not a good job. They're not a good team.
Without Justin Herbert,
they're not a good team. He's got Easton Stick as his starting quarterback now. Come on. You think they're gonna be the Bills, the Broncos, or the Chiefs? Yeah, with Easton Stick.
North Dakota State quarterbacks aren't working out.
Easton Stick has been playing in the NFL longer than Justin Herbert has. He's been on that Chargers team since 2019, and they drafted Justin Herbert the next year. They don't think that Easton Stick is good. They're clearly trying to lose as many games as possible. They fired Brandon Staley because they promoted Jeff Smith because Brandon Staley is a better coach than Jeff Smith. That's why. They're clearly trying to tank, and it's very obvious that everything's falling apart. Like, if you want to talk about this for, like, the Bears, 100% agree with you on the Bears. For the Chargers, I don't think it matters.
I hope the Chargers actually were thinking outside the box and name Giff Smith because they want to lose. I hope they literally looked at their coaching staff and said, let me get somebody that sucks to be the head coach.
Oh, yeah. Who's the worst get the guy who's never been a coordinator. That's a good way to do it.
Let's get somebody in here to lose every damn game. And keep in mind, their schedule's ridiculous to finish the year.
Yeah. It's, you know, you're probably facing off against two, maybe three playoff teams. It's very difficult. It is not going to be an easy schedule, and they just lost by 42 points to a team that's not going to make the playoffs in the Raiders. I think we're good.
I just don't want them to have any hope.
I think
Chris.
We're good. They're not going to. There's no hope right now.
I think Spanos should coach them.
There's no hope. I mean, Spanos would probably.
I think Justin Herbert should injured at all. Just sit there in the coaches.
They might be
polo.
Better. They might be better with Justin Herbert because whoever yeah, this Jeff Smith.
They
dude
might
is,
actually. If they play
they,
for. Herbert.
They have an outside linebacker coach who's never been a coordinator.
They probably play for
55
Herbert.
Years old. They probably play for Herbert. But again, you have Easton Stick as your quarterback. You're not going to win any. You're not going to win any games there. So moving on to our mock draft roundup, we have rounded up all of the various prognostications from around the NFL draft world and brought to you the names of the people that have been mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, if the season ended, the Chiefs would be picking 27th in the NFL draft. So, starting out here from Draft Countdown, they've got the Chiefs taking wide receiver Xavier Worthy out of Texas, which, I mean, if A.D. Mitchell's on the board, I want him over Worthy.
It started off being Xavier Worthy for me, and it kind of transitioned to A.D. Mitchell.
A.D.'s been better the last half of the season.
One thing about Xavier Worthy, he got banged up, too. Or still
he did.
Kind of, you're not getting much information out of Texas, but he's a returner as well. That's one thing that really helps.
Yeah, but I think they're fine on return, man.
But A.D. Mitchell's one of these guys that had to transfer. He transferred from Georgia.
He was very good at Georgia.
He was good. And the fact is, he transferred down there and it'd be closer to his family and stuff like that. Were the kind of the reasons, not just a hop, but he's 6'4". He's about 6'4", 200 pounds, A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell is. Yeah. Xavier Worthy's a little bit smaller.
He's about 6'1", maybe 200 pounds.
I like them both. And Xavier Worthy has been a hot. Both those Texas receivers have been hot names for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you get to watch them in the college football playoffs here coming up.
Yeah, Walter
against
football
against good defensive backs.
Against good defensive backs here. Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting matchup.
Or not Kool Aid.
Not Kool Aid. They're going
to
be playing Washington.
Have to get Alabama.
They're going to play Washington.
Yeah, they have to get in the final
in the semis. Walter football has the Chiefs taking wide receiver out of Washington, Romo Odunze. I do not think this will happen because I think Romo Odunze will be off the board by this point. Yard Barker, which this is laughable. Has the Chiefs taken Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa? I like DeJean a lot. I see no reason why the Chiefs would take a corner. I think it's a terrible pick there.
It made me laugh. That's why I say the fine one, and this is my favorite one. Cooper DeJean, listen, I'm with you. He's also a returner as well, Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, he's very athletic.
And you
very
can make
athletic.
An argument one of the better corners in this draft.
He might be the most athletic one
except
in the
draft.
Except
he got hurt. He got hurt right at the end of the year for Iowa.
They could tore his ACL, right?
Didn't play in the Big Ten title game, yeah. But I thought it was funny. That's just not putting a lot of thought into it because the Chiefs, if they go corner in the first round, there will be a riot.
If they go corner in the first, like that's like the ultimate, like that would be like when the Chiefs took Clyde back in 2020. It's like them making a complete luxury pick, being like, oh, we're good. We don't like that would be like if they really seriously address the wide receiver position and defensive tackle position in free agency to a point where like people would be like, okay, they don't need to take a receiver. But even if they do that, they should probably still take a wide receiver in the first round.
It's a lower leg injury for him, so not exactly sure. And again, you don't get a lot of information right. from schools when things like this come out.
Pro Football Network has the Chiefs taking A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas, which in that position, you know, late in the first round, somewhere in the mid to late 20s, if not early 30s, that's who I would want the Chiefs to take there. Ryan Wilson from CBS has the Chiefs taking Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston, who's been a very popular option for the for mock drafts here.
You know,
lately.
It has, and this way, well, it goes back to our Wanye Morris discussion, like how important he is, so that you're not sitting here talking about a Patrick Paul in the first round. How you're looking at wide receivers.
I mean, I still think Wanye would have to have a disastrous final three games.
Yeah, I mean,
a disastrous final three games
so
for
key,
them to make
man.
That
he's
move.
So instrumental. Yeah. The Chiefs don't have to use this first round pick, and we can start zeroing in on wide receivers.
Right. I don't really see that happening. Josh Edwards from CBS had them taking Keon Coleman.
But that would be great.
I do not see them making.
But he's been sliding down a little bit. A lot of the mocks have him like, because I keep looking, where does all these mocks have Keon Coleman, right? Some at 9, some of them have in the top 10, some of them about 16, 17 is a real popular thing for Keon
Yeah,
Coleman.
That's where I've seen him.
I have seen him in the 20s, in the 23rd, for some big ones like CBS, stuff like that. I don't remember whose it was, but it was a good. It was a well-known publication. Maybe that would put if the Chiefs would be in striking distance to trade if that were the case. If
yeah,
down
and
there.
And like I said, that
but they're not
going
to.
Like I said, I do not believe he's going to be there. I think he's. I think there's a very good chance he's going 2 or 3 as far as receivers go. The 40 time's going to matter a lot, but I think a lot of people underestimate the kind of athlete he is. And I think once we get to see that on display at the combine, I think that's going to really – he's going to shoot up boards. I don't think he's going to be in range for the Chiefs to take him. Draft Nation has the Chiefs taking Troy Faoutanu, tackle out of Washington. Again, I'm not buying the tackle thing right now because I think Wanye's looked very good thus far. And I think the Chiefs are the kind of team that if they don't have to spend that pick on that kind of player, they won't.
And I wonder what part of these mock drafters get to a point where the Chiefs, this year, right now they've moved to second, the 31st in the NFL as far as giving up the fewest sacks. Only Buffalo has given up fewer sacks than the Chiefs. That just changed this weekend.
Yeah.
They've got almost the whole season giving up the fewest sacks. What stands out to you more, that or the fact the Chiefs can't catch a cold? Like, you would think that, okay, we're going wide receiver with the Chiefs in the first round.
I think if the offense were better, I think people would give the offensive line a little bit more credit than they are.
No, they are, but, I mean, they have given up the fewest sacks going into this weekend.
Roto Baller has the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas. Draft Wire has the Chiefs taking A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. USA Today has the Chiefs taking Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver out of Ohio State. Same with SB Nation as well. I do not see that happening. I think Emeka's probably going to fall out the first round. Maybe there's a team that tricks themselves into thinking, and that's the reason why like I had the Cowboys taking him last week, because I kind of feel like there's going to be a team that might trick themselves into taking him. I do not see it for him, and I would not be happy if they took him in the first round.
I think he's as good. I don't think he's as good as Jackson Smith and Yigba from last year. Garrett
right.
Wilson,
me
Chris
Olave, yeah.
These Ohio State receivers I put in behind all those guys, and I think Marvin got all the double teams for Ohio State this year. And this is a classic example. I know that a lot of these guys we like that are on good two receivers for organizations, but this is someone that I definitely think benefited from Marvin, but more last year than this year because Emeka didn't play a ton this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just not buying it with him. CBS's Chris Trapasso has them taking Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle. What school was he out of?
Jordan Morgan went to...
I think he's Arizona.
No, he's Pac-12. So he is Arizona.
Oh, he's Arizona.
He's Arizona.
So you've got...
And a great year Jeb Fish had with Arizona, too. But yeah, he went to Arizona.
And then you've got Tankathon has them taking Emeka Egbuka. Draft Tech has them taking Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon.
Which has kind of become a popular one.
I kind of feel like Franklin's going to be there. He's probably going to go like mid-second.
I think second round or into the early third.
Yeah, I think he's going to fall a little bit. Unless he has just a blazing 40 time, which I think he'll probably have a good 40. But I think he's probably going to fall a little bit. Matt Miller and Bleacher Nation also have them taking A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. SI has them taking Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston. The Athletic also has them taking Patrick Paul. PFF has them taking Xavier Leggett, wide receiver out of South Carolina.
Xavier's getting a lot of run, man. Even like a lot of like being bumped up there, one of the top five or six receivers in the draft. I mean, there's that kind of love for Xavier.
He's really athletic. I'm not quite buying the top five receiver in the draft thing, but I could see him going late first.
He's one of the biggest climbers we've seen.
Yeah, he has. He's definitely climbed up a lot. That was a guy that I was seeing like second or third round before, but like really in the last couple months, he's kind of bumped up to being a late first guy. CBS Sports, he had Patrick Paul. 33rd team had them taking Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. Sporting News had them taking Amarius Mims, tackle out of Georgia.
And Amarius Mims had the tightrope surgery this week as well with that high ankle sprain, the same as Brock Bowers.
I think that what we've kind of seen here is there's a lot of guys who are kind of they are kind of attributing the Chiefs with the same kind of they're kind of doing the thing we talked about this last year, where like they're kind of copying other mocks. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are looking at it and they're like, oh, yeah, well, they need a tackle. Donovan Smith hasn't played the last 2 weeks, and he's like 31, so they need a left tackle. But I think, and we've been saying this for the last almost 2 months now, Wanya Morris is a guy they really like. So if you see a mock that has them taking a left tackle, throw it away. Don't pay attention to it. That's going to change. I think wide receivers, unless something bad happens with Wanya, unless he just completely falls apart out there, especially if Donovan's healthy and Wanya still gets starts, which I think he should, that's going to be the sign right there that he's got that job.
Yeah, it's going to – I do think there's some copying that goes on. I do think there's a lot of copying when it comes to the box.
Oh, there's a ton.
That's why I saw it early on with Xavier Worthy. I think if you and I were going to talk about the most popular consensus one for the Chiefs, it is
– A.D. Mitchell.
It is A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy.
I haven't seen as much Xavier lately.
Xavier was hot
at the beginning. Him and Jatavion Sanders were the two guys that were hot at the early stages.
And we see some Troy Franklin. I like some Keon Coleman that was squeezed in.
Yeah, I don't think it's realistic.
Unless they trade down.
I don't think it's realistic. But yeah, I mean, I think the two names we've seen most, I mean, obviously like Patrick Paul, but as far as wide receivers go, it's been A.D. Mitchell and it's been Troy Franklin. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Like I said, I think Troy Franklin right now was a second-round wide receiver, maybe third, but I kind of feel like he's a second guy, maybe mid-second. But A.D. Mitchell, I think, is the guy that we should be looking at. If there's anybody you're going to watch in the playoff, watch A.D. Mitchell.
Watch Texas.
That's good. Watch Texas. Texas is full. They're probably, as far as draft goes, the most talented team in that college football playoff.
And watch the trio receivers.
Yeah, watch those guys at Washington,
Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan, and Romo Dunze.
Yeah, because I could see, like, McMillan and Polk. Those are two guys you're going to be watching out for on the second day of the draft. Those are two guys that will be really, really interesting.
Absolutely.
So,
and Romo Dunze, I think, might be a pipe dream.
Yeah, that's a pipe dream, I think. To him and Keon Coleman, I think, are pipe dreams. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us. Next week, we will not be having a show because Christmas and I got to go out of town and all that. But after that,
it's
we're going to be going down to the final stretch. College football playoff is going to be kicking off in a couple weeks here. So we will make sure we have our list of players you need to watch
which
for in the college football playoff.
Litmus.
It is a massive amount of players. So we'll get you up on that. We'll make sure that you stay locked in on any of the news for mock drafts, the NFL draft in general. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. Thanks again for listening to us. We'll catch you guys next time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.